Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, we're back here at Gamertag Radio, episode 1557. This is your host, Danny Pena. And also joining me is the one and only Rihanna, Rihanna Manuel Pena. What's up, Ree?
Hello out there. Lots of news today, Danny.
Lots of news. And look, people probably wondering why we haven't really been posting a lot. We decided to take a break, a lot of us. Not only Paris, not only Pete, but also me and Ree. Like, we've been just taking some time off. I feel like this year has been a lot of course, we've been busy, and there's been just a lot of like negative news, and we just needed to stay away from social media for some time, and also from recording, and just relax for a bit, you know.
Plus we had a trip, and in a couple of days it's your birthday, so we've just been focusing more on real life, mm-hmm. family stuff, you know, things like that.
Yep. And, you know, now that we heard the news of what's happening with Xbox, and before we start talking about this news, I just want to say this to start. I'm glad that we took some time off, because I noticed it was like a lot of just rumors and news that came out, and then it was not news, it was rumor, it was false information. Like, it was just all over the place, and I felt like it was important for us to sit back and just wait until the official news. Like, I think it's a lot better, because the thing that I didn't want to do, I know you, Paris, and Pete probably feels the same exact thing too, is that, you know, there's real people that been, you know, working, reading all these news that's been going around, because they don't know what's happening, you know? And it's making the situation, I think, personally for me, I think is even worse by spreading rumors, stuff that's not even confirmed, because everybody's expecting, like, hey, this is going to happen. It was just too much. And I'm glad that we didn't put content out there based on those rumors, because I think it was important for us to just wait and see until it is official. Do you agree?
Agreed. And speaking as somebody who has been on, you know, the other side, hearing speculation about the company I'm working at, and not knowing if they know more than I do, or if my job and therefore my livelihood is at stake, and things going back and forth, it is incredibly stressful, and especially damaging for people who could be at risk and whose jobs are being discussed, right? And I think it's really important, not just as people who comment on games as media, but especially people who are reporting as journalists, to be more responsible with that. That is, it is very, very damaging, can make things worse, can make things harder for studios or employees or companies to negotiate the best outcomes for themselves. It can make it tough for the leadership to make a really objective, sound decision about everything, because they have public opinion now weighing in where it shouldn't be. And so I would just encourage folks. I know it's very interesting, and as fans of this industry and as people who participate in it, we want to know what's going on. However, sometimes it's not your business, and you should make sure that you take a healthy dose of empathy when discussing things that are truly people's livelihoods, and just be a little bit more mindful of how your words can impact others.
Yep, 100%. And also, thanks to everybody that have been hitting us up and finding out, hey, when are we going to record? You know, I'm glad that we took some time off. I think now that this news is out, it is important for us to talk about this, because there's a lot of changes happening. There's people that we know that lost their jobs. So we're going to talk about this, right? So
yeah,
today Asha posted...
Asha Sharma, CEO Asha of Sharma. Xbox.
Yeah, the CEO at Xbox. She posted, let me see if this is, no, this is the wrong one. There you go. Boom. So she posted this today. And for those that are listening to in the podcast, it was like a letter that she sent out to all the employees. We're not going to read the whole thing.
I can skim it.
Yeah, you can. Go for it.
Well, go ahead and give kind of like a table setting while I pull it up on my screen.
Yeah, so she sent out this email to the employees. It also is available on Xbox Wired. And on X, typically when a CEO writes to all the employees, this goes out only to the employees. It usually doesn't go out to the public, but because there's been so many leaks throughout the years, they decide, hey, you know what? Let's put it everywhere and just be transparent about everything that's happening. And I think that is a right way to do this. I think being transparent, it is important for not only for the employees, but also the people that have been buying these products and you know, our fans and wondering what's going to happen, you know, because these changes is going to affect, you know, what's going to happen from now in the future, you know? So yeah. I think this was the right way to do things, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. So, again, skimming, and I will have to skip several sections of this because it is, you know, an employee-wide email, so very, very detailed, as it should be. Mm-hmm. And as Dana mentioned, leaks are unavoidable these days, so it's been shared with the public directly from the source, which is great. Mm-hmm. But this is from Asha. This is an important email I sent today to all employees at Xbox. Team, we are beginning the most significant restructure in Xbox history. After careful consideration, I've made the difficult decision to reduce our team by approximately 3,200 throughout FY27. This will include, and for those who don't know, this is Rihanna speaking. FY27 is July 1st, 2026 through through June 30th, 2028. No, 2027. Jesus. 2027. It's July through June. So it starts last week. This will include approximately 1,600 role eliminations today. Mm-hmm. And in addition, 4 studios will leave Xbox to new management. So scrolling down, she mentions that they're operating at margins that are 3 to 10 times lower than comparable platform and publishing businesses. They entered Generation 9 with a smaller install base and a higher cost structure. And then she goes on to say, the industry is facing the most severe hardware crisis in its history, and they must reset Xbox. So notes about the portfolio. They've been expanding, as we know, and I'm paraphrasing now. They've been expanding. As we know, they've made large investments in acquiring other studios. And then she says, we have learned that we are not the best home for every type of studio. And in a typical year, we lost 64 cents for every dollar we invested. Now, I'm going to pause there.
Yeah.
What that means is for every dollar they've invested, not only have they not broken even, they've lost more money, which is very bad for any business. And that is a typical year. Obviously, that doesn't mean every year. That doesn't mean the entire time. But that is not a good sign of health or growth for any company. So the reset is definitely warranted. They are attempting to help independent creators succeed by providing open development tools and audiences to realize that vision. She goes on to specifically name 4 studios. Compulsion Games and Double Fine will return to management and transition to independent studios with their IP catalogs and runway for their next games. So they're not going back to independent empty-handed. They do have their full catalog of IP, which is great.
Uh-huh.
Ninja Theory and Undead Labs have entered terms to join new ownership with funding to complete and grow Senua and State of Decay 3. So both of their sequels will be funded, and they are going to then move to a new owner, new publisher. We don't know who that is yet. We'll wait for them to share that news when they're ready. Uh-huh. And then the fifth studio mentioned was Arkane. So in France, this is as Asha writes, Arkane's management is beginning required consultation with the Works Council to review strategic options. So because Arkane is not a United States owned company, it has different rules for how it's run in France. So they're working with that government to make it make sense. If we were to follow the logic of what's happened with Compulsion, Double Fine, Ninja Theory, and Undead, it sounds like they're trying to make things fair for the publisher or for the studio.
For the studios, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And fingers crossed for Blade because everybody wants Blade. So let's hope that works out.
Mm-hmm.
They're also making reductions across other units. They vary in size across Activision, Bethesda, Cinemax, Blizzard, King, Mojang, and Xbox Game Studios, the internal studio. None of their first-party publicly announced games or projects are being canceled right now.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the large news about the studios. The studios are largely being kept intact, moving to new owners or moving to independent management, and their IPs are their own, which is the best way that could have gone, honestly, mm-hmm. with everything that's happening. And we've seen other studios get closed outright. So this is the best outcome for those studios. And then she talks about the platform briefly. She says they're reducing management layers. This is something that's going to get quoted and commented on in a lot of videos and news sites, that they had some work streams under Xbox that had 14 layers of management. That sounds ridiculous.
that's actually a lot. Yeah.
It's actually pretty laughable for any company, especially one that needs to produce content at a larger scale and at a faster pace than they have been. She estimated the teams are 40% larger than they were when they started Gen 9, as the player base has declined for lots of reasons. So essentially, they're trying to reduce the layers of middle management and overhead, which is why we're seeing such drastic cuts for both internal and external teams. Then that she describes like a 50% reduced vendor spend, which sounds incredible, I will say. That's a lot of work. 50% of the money you spend on people who do stuff for you is huge. So they are really cutting back. And we'll see how that manifests. Like if you're seeing less ads or if you're seeing, you know, fewer partnerships, like well, that'll be very drastic. And it'll be interesting to watch that unfold.
And for those who don't know, we'll continue on. But it's there's other PR agencies that also been helping Xbox handling with media, some of the media, not all media, some, and also content creators. Like that's, it's a lot. It's a lot of work. So I'm wondering, how's that going to change now for the company now working with media and also creators in the future, you know? So
for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Last bit here. If you're really in the weeds, Dave McCarthy, who's been at Xbox almost 20 years, is now moving on and retiring. Helen Chang, who I knew as during my time at Xbox as head of the Minecraft and Mojang franchise. She will be taking over the role of chief operating officer that they're now creating for a lot of that clarity and cohesion. So there's not so much disparate management and so many silos. And I guess that I'll just read the last bit here. I want Xbox to be one of the few companies that entertains more than 1 billion people each day and gives everyone the opportunity to create and connect. I know we can achieve this goal. Xbox has many of the most beloved franchises in entertainment history, talented studios around the world, and we will return to growth, bold claim, in 2027. History is full of companies that mistake longevity for inevitability. We will not be one of them. So that's a bit more of a visionary statement, I would say. You know, claiming that you're going to return to growth in a market that does not grow is a challenge, right? Like that's really putting your flag in the sand. Also stating that, you know, just because Microsoft and Xbox have been around for so long doesn't mean they will always be around if they don't make intentional planning and choices. And I appreciate that acknowledgement, because there's a lot of folks out there who's like, oh yeah, Xbox will be forever, but it could not be. There's plenty of companies that have shut down over the years. We've seen a few of them. There's a few that we love that are getting scarily close to that as well. So it's good to hear that these studios at least will survive. I won't dwell on it because we've been here before, but to everybody who is losing their role, I'm sorry we failed. I'm sorry we failed you all. Mm-hmm. And
it's tough.
It's so tough. Like there's really nothing else to be said about it. It's a shame we're going to lose so much talent, because I know not everybody can stick around and wait for more opportunities to come. They'll go to other industries. They'll move to other jobs. And it sucks. It just really sucks.
So, and I know there's going to be so many opinions about why this is happening. It's a combination of a lot of things. I think I think also hiring so many people during the pandemic, which was like the peak in gaming, because that's just in tech in general, everybody was getting hired because, you know, there was a lot of people that were just buying games, buying content.
There was also a lot of money going around from investors.
From investors, around that time. Yeah. But, you know, I thought that, and look, this was going to happen with companies that they would like to experiment to see if this is something that they needed, because, you know, I remember 2013 when everything happened with Xbox One, you know, we were missing out with games. I think they needed more exclusives and content. Then they launched, you know, Game Pass. And, you know, the people that were in charge at that time, they thought it was going to work. They thought, like, more people were going to sign up Game Pass, that having these unique games that's, you know, available all the time on Game Pass was going to help the company. But it just didn't work. It didn't work overall, you know? So,
yeah.
What I'm thinking, really, like, what else are they supposed to do in a situation like this? Like, I don't know, you know, because we were talking back and forth, us, all of us, like, hey, man, if they shut down all these studios, that's not good, man. That's even worse.
That you know, would have been worse. And I'm glad worse. That's not what we're reporting on today.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that didn't happen. But I mean, I'm still not happy that 3,000 people are going to lose their jobs, or they're already half of them already lost now, and between now and fiscal year of next year,
right, and even more before people. Right, this isn't the first round of layoffs. Mm-mm. Even from Xbox, let alone across publishers and studios. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, now what, I mean, what else, like, it just, I don't know, like, we talked about this before, mm-hmm. where, you know, Xbox tried to experiment, or, you know, having these unique games, and it just didn't work out. And at the same time, a lot of the gamers will always bring up, oh, I want to see new games. That's not the same games every year. Mm-hmm. But then once, like, not only Xbox, but when other companies release these games, they don't get the financial support. They don't get the financial support. Like, what else? And especially now with everything so expensive, not only with games, with hardware, people are being more picky than ever than to buy games, you know? So,
and they have to. Yeah.
And now,
I mean,
we're in a really weird spot right now in gaming, all of us.
I think,
you know,
gaming and even just speaking more broadly, because once again, we live in LA right now, Hollywood entertainment is all having a tough, tough moment. And a lot of it is because hobbies, and especially hobbies you can do inside, like watching movies and playing games, exploded during lockdown. And nobody expected that. Nobody really knew how to handle it responsibly. And if you have a bunch of loans coming to your way for very low, a bunch of investments, a bunch of funding strategies coming your way with very low interest rates, you can fund a bunch of dream projects, you can make a bunch of cool stuff. And even before that, you know, indies have always had a special place in a lot of people's hearts, including executives who love games. And mm-hmm. Xbox has been known for having executives who love games. Some of them are still there, right? And that motivation encourages decisions that include games that don't sell big blockbuster numbers, right? That includes games that win awards, maybe more so than hit the top of the sales charts. And with the desire to build a strategy that includes some of those, but also some of the big money makers, it makes sense to try to have a diverse portfolio. You hear people say things about portfolio. That's a whole job at most game publishers, is head of portfolio, trying to make sure they have a combination of smaller studios that can make really cool, interesting things, or co-dev studio work that can support multiple different projects at the same time and use that knowledge to help make others stronger. And then you have your big money makers. You know, you have your established franchises that you go back to year over year, and the live service games and multiplayer games that will have returning customers to help bring in that cash over and over again. And in an ideal world, that's a healthy business strategy. We are far from an ideal world, especially now in 2026. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Danny, people are stretching their money further. They have less time, energy, freaking emotional stability to enjoy entertainment the way we did when mm-hmm. that was all we really had to do. And people are going back to what they know. They're going back to what is reliable. They're taking less risk with their purchases. They're being more frugal. And even before economic pressures have kind of created this pull back, this rubber band effect on buying and participating in everything, mm-hmm. even before that, more artistic games or more niche games that, yes, win awards but don't move big sales numbers, they have never been able to bring in millions in profit. That's not what they're made to do, right? And to expect that outcome from every game that you publish is just unrealistic, right? And so I don't think that's exactly why certain studios have been closed over others. There's probably a lot more to it. Having seen some of these things happen on the other side, there's usually a lot more to the story. Maybe some mismanagement, maybe some difficulty with fit. And as Asha mentioned in her statement, there are some games and some things that really just aren't fit for this new Xbox that is being created in 2026. And where do they go? Lord, I wish I knew, because I would want to support that place. I want to support games like South of Midnight. I want to support games like even Ori and the Blind Forest, right? Like there's a lot of really special experiences that you can only get because some other game made a lot of money and the publisher who owned both was able to take the hit. And I'm scared that we're going to lose those. I'm scared that they don't have a home anymore. And I'm scared that people who want them aren't powerful enough in the market to keep funding them. And I've said before, you have to vote with your wallet. If there's something that you really, really love or you really want to exist or keep going, you have to go support it. You have to follow it. You have to buy it. You have to evangelize it, tell people about it. I just don't know if that's enough anymore. So in my efforts to just try to look for the solution, like, okay, so what do we do? I haven't quite found it. I really haven't. And I know as professionals, we're doing what we can on the other side to get more resources for these studios, because that's a really passionate area for you and I and a lot of people that we're friends with. And I hope we can crack it. Like, I hope we can figure it out. We're going to do our darndest. We're not leaving. We're not giving up. But it really does take a lot more than what people have given so far. And it's really disappointing.
Yeah. And it sucks right on the 25th anniversary of Xbox as all this is happening, which is weird. But I see now when people see all this and you go back a couple years back where the conversation about games going multi-platform, it was because it was so bad behind the scenes that they needed
more people to sell to.
They needed more money to, in other ways, and not just depending on Game Pass and having exclusives. I think this was the way for them. They thought it was going to work out. And that part, I don't know. Like, did it work out, do you think, Reed? Like, I don't know.
No.
It's, you know, so like, they're in a really tough situation. The part that I'm really worried is only focusing on the big games, only those games, and that's it. I don't know if that's going to be enough for people to go and buy this console and buy whatever is next. You get what I'm saying? Like, we know Call of Duty is going to be multi-platform. You know, Gears is going to be exclusive, but what about the other games? You know, like the Blade and these other games. Is it going to be exclusive too? Is it going to be multi-platform? Like, what is still the purpose of me buying an Xbox? Like, it's just there's a lot that needs to be fixed behind the scenes before all these games comes out. You know, so
I know you and Paris of Pete have covered this in other episodes where I wasn't on, but
yeah,
in general, the hardware business makes less and less sense over time. Yeah. The change in capabilities of these machines is so much smaller than when we were moving from 64 to 3D. You know what I mean? Like the graphical fidelity, the computing power, hell, even the memory is just, the delta is so much smaller. And now, unexpectedly, I guess, but in 2026, we have a hardware crisis across every part of any technology industry, including like phones. We're in literal crisis. Why on earth would anybody need, or would millions of people need, to upgrade a console? You don't. There are not enough exclusive games. There are barely enough games, period, that need that upgrade in hardware to play and enjoy at a high fidelity. And also, fidelity is not the end-all be-all for games. The most popular game in the world right now is Blocks. So, like, why are we chasing fidelity and compute and all of that when somebody literally built a computer inside of Minecraft and they're having the ball? They're having a blast. Like, power is not the motivation it used to be for gamers. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're asking people to spend upwards of $800, $900, $1,000 in an economy where folks are struggling to get groceries, mm-hmm. it just doesn't make any sense. I'm just going to say, it just doesn't make any sense. There will be some people who buy it. It won't be worth manufacturing costs. It's going to lose money. And the games that look better won't look better enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. It's not enough of an improvement. And unless it's some revolutionary new way to play games that we've never even thought of before, like the difference between, you know, a GameCube and a Wii, like, unless you're making some kind of incredible leap in functionality and technology, it's not going to make enough. And it's going to drain resources, and it's going to make it harder for everybody. And exclusives cut people out. They make it harder for the studio to survive and make money and justify the cost of their existence. And then we'll be here again in 2028. And I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to watch this happen. And I know the people in charge are smart, and they've heard all of this already.
Mm-hmm.
And they see everybody talking about it already. And they'll make their bets, and I hope they make the right ones this time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, it is hard. It's draining. It's exhausting, honestly. Like, it's been like this now for, like, what, 3 years?
This whole
layoff news almost every week, every month, like, from different companies. And, like, it's not stopping, you know? So I think the whole industry needs a hard reset, honestly.
Agreed. And honestly, capitalism might be the problem.
Yeah,
and we can't undo that easily, right? There's some politicians who are trying, but it's tough when games are no longer made for people to enjoy them more and more, and they're made to make more and more money. You're just going to have a lot more things that you lose along the way. And a lot of the stuff you lose is the coolest stuff. And that sucks.
And you know what? It's going to be difficult. Like, I know more and more people been creating their own independent studio, but it's just getting harder and harder to find investors on that, you know? So, like, to support those type of studios, it's getting harder and harder every day, because now it's more and more people that are trying to create new experiences, new games, you know, because they used to work for a corporation and now they're doing their own thing, you know? So, it's just getting difficult overall for everybody, man. You know, like, I think it was at Summer Game Fest. Was it Jeff Keighley was on stage and showed how many games was released last year? I think it was like, what, 1,900? I think it was.
It was nine something. And
was
that's
it nine?
That's like,
I can't remember.
So that number is so tricky to get to, because there's probably tens of thousands of games technically released across every platform. If you're looking at Steam alone, it's in the thousands. And if you look at actually, like, full game experiences and not some of the smaller things that maybe don't technically qualify as a game that do release on Steam, the number is lower, but you're in the thousands. That's a lot of freaking games. There's only a couple hundred days in a year, and you only have so many dollars to go around and so many hours to spend. Right. So it's impossible for any group of people really to play every game that comes out. Mm-hmm. And I try to say every game is someone's favorite game, but there's a lot that will never get played by the people who would really enjoy it. And simply because there's too many to sort through. And that's, I mean, I think game curation is a new thing that I would like to focus on and trying to champion. There's some great resources out there. There's more and more every day. And, you know, if you find a curator or site or newsletter that you love, that you vibe with, that picks the types of games you like, please support it. Because I think that's the best way for people to find the things that they would love in this vast ocean of options that really need support.
Yeah. I know next month is Gamescom. I wonder what's going to happen next with Xbox, how they're going to show more new stuff or not, or just keep it the same. Like, I'm wondering what's going to happen.
I mean, hopefully they focus on exciting and positive and new things and not.
Yes, yes. Because FanFest is going to happen over there too in Germany. And other places who, throughout the world. I think in September is Tokyo Game Show. They might be there too. They probably have a fan fest over there, the Japanese community, and Mexico later this year. That's, you know, so there is some type of positive news out there, you know. Today's tough. Today's really, really tough, man. As someone that been there from the beginning, you know, attending all these events, this is like the toughest that I've seen from Xboxes now. I know there was multiple layoffs throughout the past 2 years, but 2 or 3 years, but this one is like, ugh.
Yeah.
It is bad. And I wonder now with, you know, Matt Booty's been there for a long time.
One of those people that loves games.
He loves games.
He loves developing games.
Like, that's his thing. Mm-hmm. But I wonder what Phil and Sarah are seeing now from being from the outside. Like, it's something I've just been thinking about because this has been going on for a long, long time. And oh, man, this is...
Honestly, real talk, I hope they're somewhere surrounded by family, not looking at the internet at all, because this is a lot. Yeah. And they made their bets, and they had to do something. They thought what they were doing was the best thing they could do.
And it didn't work out.
If the bets didn't pay off, they didn't pay off, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't go back and change it. There was a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort spent to make different acquisitions and make different choices. And there's no way they would do that thinking it would fail, right? They did that because they thought it could pay off, and it just didn't. So I hope that they are relaxing.
Yeah.
And just trying to do the best they can to move on.
Yeah. But for those who are listening, we would love to hear your thoughts about, you know, all this is happening, not only with Xbox, but also with PlayStation now seeing the going all digital.
I have a lot of thoughts about that, but that's not what we're talking about today.
We'll talk about that in a different, maybe later this week we'll talk about that. But please just send us your thoughts or questions about all this. Hit us up. Fanmail@gamertagradio.com or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Anything else, Ree, before we wrap it up?
Play some games. Share them with people. Mm-hmm. There's still really great things out there. And gaming will live on. It'll just be changing a lot. That's all we know.
I posted this on our Discord channel. Make sure to join there if you guys can. But I did mention, like, yes, there's been a lot of negative news. I know people are taking advantage of those news to post content, whatever. Like, you know, I get it, whatever. That's not our thing. But don't let the negativity ruin your passion and love for gaming, because right now, we're just in a very difficult, dark time in our industry, in our community. But eventually, good things are going to come out in the future. Things are going to change. It's not going to be the same in different ways. But, you know, we're seeing a lot more people going independent, doing their own studio, they're going to create new experiences for everybody. And things are going to get better. Right now, it's tough, you know. There's nothing else we can say about that. Like, it's the truth, you know. It's been happening for the past couple of years. So hopefully we get to see the good eventually in the future, you know. There's a lot of talented people out there, man, that are trying to survive and trying to create some cool stuff for the fans out there, you know.
Yeah, there is still cool stuff out there.
There is. Yeah. Go ahead and then download Star Fox for the Nintendo Switch 2. What's the other one? The rhythm game? The rhythm game, Reed, that we were playing a lot. We were going back and forth.
Oh, my gosh. Rhythm Heaven?
Rhythm Heaven. We've been sleeping like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning playing that.
I'm addicted to it. Like, it's so good.
But look, it's simple. It's not graphically like, it's just simple. And we're having fun. That's what I care about, you know? So, all right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Bye.
Bye.